Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of December 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Senator Baucus has proposed a bill to extend the current or expired biofuels tax credits and tariffs for ethanol and biodiesel. And China and Russia are cooking up a deal for the ruble. It's said to be a way to get around the U.S. dollar as a major form of currency in trade. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. Along the way today, I'll tell you how GPS is making it possible to apply anhydrous ammonia to a cornfield, even at planting. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. The nearby December wheat up 14 cents at $7.52 today. The March at $7.93 up 14. May at $8.11 3/4 up 21. And July at $8.07 3/4 up 21. The hard red, $8.25 3/4 in Kansas City, up 14 cents. Back in Chicago at the corn pit, nearby December contract in the corn at $5.53 3/4 down 5 1/4. March at $5.68 5.5 lower. The May corn, $5.76 1/4 down 4 1/4. July, $5.80 3/4 3 3/4 lower. And December corn of next year, $5.29 1/4 for the new crop. 2011 contract down 5 1/4. January beans at $12.88 1/2 down 11 3/4. July down 12 at $12.98 1/2 and November at $11.98 3/4 down 9.5 cents. Bean meal down 4.60 at $3.45.50. Oil at $53.13 up a nickel on the afternoon. December live cattle at $103.37 1/2 up 20. January feeders at $118.50. Down 17.5 in December lean hogs, $68.35 down 92.5 cents. This is the Illinois Public Media. Taking a look at the numbers as they finished up in the outside markets for the day. Crude oil futures, $89.36, up 17 cents. Ethanol at $2.07, 3 1/10 lower. Natural gas at $4.50 1/2, up 15 1/2 cents. January in the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.47 6/10. That's just a penny and a tenth lower for the day. December gold futures at $1,415.30, up $9.90. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,387, just about 5 points higher at this hour. U.S. dollar at 79.579 is up 0.19, and the CRB at 317.29 is up 1.13 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. It comes from the National Weather Service this afternoon. They say scattered showers and flurries for snow, that is. Mostly cloudy, a high near 20 degrees. The wind chill will be around 1 to 6 degrees this afternoon. North-northwest winds at 16 miles an hour, gusting as high as 23. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 6, wind chill values between 7 and 0, 7 below that is, and 0. Northwest winds between 11 and 15, though gust as high as 18. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high near 20 degrees, wind chill values between negative 8 and 2. Northwest winds between 11 and 14, though gust as high as 16 tomorrow afternoon. And then as we get to Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies, or rather on tomorrow evening, partly cloudy skies, a low around 9 degrees, wind chills between negative 1 and 4, west-northwest winds between 8 and 10 miles an hour. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast as we get to the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us today to take a look at what happened in the agricultural markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another interesting day in Chicago. Tell me about it, please.
Well, kind of a mixed day. Of course, the corn and beans and meal lower, bean oil and wheat higher. Corn, beans, we saw continued commodity fund selling. They were fairly good sellers on the day. We'll see what volume and open interest shows us in the morning there, but basically no real bullish catalyst to say step up and buy corn and beans today. And I think it's a function of the market just backing and filling. We've had a good run to the upside here over the last 2 weeks. Corn's gained 55, 56 cents, beans $1.30, so a little overbought due to back and fill. Good demand under the market, though. We did see some good export sales on the sheet there to various unknown destinations, and we feel there's more of that to come down the road. Wheat continues to get the star. Wheat traders are beating the drum of two wet conditions in the Australian wheat region there, and a lot of that wheat's being downgraded to food grade. And two, there's problems in Europe. There's problems here in the U.S. So continue to see wheat gain support due to world weather situations there, Todd.
Can you tell me about the Southern Hemisphere wheat crop? That would be Argentina primarily and Australia. It's not nearly as large a wheat crop as is harvested in the Northern Hemisphere, but that one's still 6 to 7 months away. The Southern Hemisphere wheat crop feeds the export market quite a little bit. If it is downgraded in large part to feed grade wheat, as you suggest, what does that mean for the corn market and whether or not the corn comes under pressure from that or whether it's just a lack of total coarse grains in the world and is a supportive factor instead of one that might push the corn lower?
It becomes the support in the wheat market will continue to be good quality milling, human consumption type of wheat market. And they're just not going to dump it on the ground. They're going to, due to conditions of it, you're right, it'll be graded to food, grade down to feed, and they'll find a source to it. But they will be competitive on the world market. The big debate is, how much of that will be downgraded, and it is a competitive situation, especially with different countries needing some feed wheat in general. The Russia, Ukraine, you take the whole even Black Sea area there, almost zero exports, talk about imports. So there's going to be a lot of logistics involved. Two, downgraded, how much of a price difference. They'll be looking at transportation costs. There's a lot of factors involved in switching feed wheat and being competitive to the corn market. The big thing, though, is for the U.S. is we're pretty well booked up on exports. We can't handle really a whole much more on the export side of it, and who we export to is not probably going to cancel our corn and buy Australian feed quality wheat. So our corn sales for this year is pretty well locked into place here. If it's a threat, it'll be a threat to other areas of the world there, Todd.
The half-dollar rally in the last couple of weeks in corn make you think about sales or make your clientele think about making a corn sale?
We believe so. We're basically a little over halfway back up to the highs in corn. We almost reached 72% back up to the highs in beans. 2 weeks ago, everyone was crying tears in their beer. They missed the high and didn't get stuff sold. And we feel this as a producer's a gift to get caught up on sales. For what little cash grains out there to sell, producers in general are pretty well sold up as a whole. But for those who wish and could or should or would have, you know, looking back, this is your opportunity to get caught up because this is a pretty good run in here, and these are still very attractive prices. We still like the formal recommendation we've been given here for quite some time. Get the cash, get your money, and if you're bullish, re-own it on paper where you know what your risk is. You could have some replacement strategies, risking, you know, 15, 30 cents or whatever, and if the market goes on up, you can capture that, but if not, that's all you have at risk. So there's a lot of creative ideas out there, and just about everybody on your program's got a solution to everyone's individual situation.
Are you of a mind to sell new crop corn as well?
It depends where you're at. For those who's fairly well locked in some inputs, know where you're at, we feel this is not a bad level to get started. We're not in favor of selling 75%, but I know some guys are pretty aggressive. I know a lot of the larger producers you have on your programs there, you know, they say if it's profitable, lock it in, and they do that. Yeah, you can get going on it. Once again, you know, hedge your bet by doing some replacements on paper. That way you can stay a little flexible. If you do, we kind of like using the board, for say. Margin calls are there, but it gives you the flexibility to actually market the cash grain at different locations. Because we move down the road, there's going to be quite a bit of difference in basis and different cash bids, so we like to keep everybody flexible.
Probably a few extra beans out there because of the good harvest in parts of the Midwest, still in the bin or in storage someplace. The dollar plus a spot where you'd like to market those to?
Well, here at these levels, a little higher, there's nothing wrong pushing them on out the door. For beans to go quite a bit higher, we're going to have to see some more adverse weather in the southern hemisphere, or harvest problems in the southern hemisphere as we move into late winter as far as getting that crop into the marketing channel. So if you don't use this rally to sell grain, get caught up, we're going to have to hang on to it for a little bit more longer period of time until we get into the harvest and export season in the southern hemisphere, see how that comes out, whether or not in a timely fashion or not.
We thank you for joining us today.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. And that's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can hear it again if you'd like off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be here in just a moment with this afternoon's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, Senate Finance Chairman Max Baucus is proposing a bill that would set the ethanol excise tax credit at 36 cents a gallon through 2011, extend the tariff on ethanol imports through 2011 at the current rate of 54 cents a gallon, and extend the biodiesel tax credit of $1 a gallon through 2011. With ethanol supporters under fire by livestock producers, food makers, and environmental groups, ethanol leaders say the best chance to extend biofuel supports is to attach them to a must-pass tax bill. Washington Research Group says Baucus's legislation is very unlikely to pass, but would be a starting point for negotiations this month on many issues, including estate tax and income tax rates. The World Trade Organization says a number of anti-dumping investigations, probes into unfairly priced imports, fell in the first half of this year. Between January and June of this year, 19 WTO members reported initiating 69 new investigations, compared with 97 investigations by 18 members in the same period of 2009. India was again the most active country launching new anti-dumping probes, with 17 in the first half of this year, followed by the European Union with 8. The United States initiated only 2 investigations. China, the world's biggest exporter, was the main target of the investigations, facing 23 new probes, down from 33 new investigations a year earlier. China wants to pay in rubles for Russian timber, cooking coal, and seafood as the two countries seek to boost bilateral trade in national currencies. Russia is trying to raise the profile of the ruble and has called for a reduction in reliance on the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency. China, Moscow's second-largest trading partner after the European Union, is interested in establishing long-term supplies of oil and gas from Russia, the world's largest energy producer. Kraft Foods is seeking a preliminary injunction against Starbucks, saying the coffee chain violated terms of a distribution deal. The two businesses had started arbitration proceedings late last month as Kraft looked to keep Starbucks from ending an agreement to distribute and promote its packaged coffee in stores. Kraft says today that Starbucks is taking on an aggressive strategy that threatens to hurt its business. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's a Monday afternoon. Up next, GPS. It's making it possible and much easier for farmers to apply nitrogen to their corn crop in the springtime. And as you'll hear, it can even happen at planting. It's been a long-held rule that nitrogen should not be applied to a cornfield within a week to 10 days of planting. This is because it can cause serious damage to the seedlings, says University of Illinois Extension soil fertility specialist Fabian Fernandez. But GPS is changing everything about side dressing anhydrous ammonia.
Definitely, yes. The concern, of course, with a side dress application of anhydrous ammonia is the potential seedling injury that you might, or the root injury that you might cause. But if you are using a GPS and you know that you're applying it in between rows, you're separating it quite a distance, you know, if you're in 30-inch rows, 15-inch separation from where the plant is, so that should be no problem at all. In fact, it could be done right at the same time of planting or, you know, as a side dress. The important thing is to try to keep that nitrogen away from where the seed is germinating.
So it is possible to side dress nitrogen at the time of planting. Even preferable, because planting is quite likely to take place when the soils are in better or good condition, not too wet or too dry, which might not happen later in the season.
Another important thing to consider is the, especially with a side dress application, not so much with application at the time of planting or pre-plant, is the soil conditions. If we are a little bit too wet, we can have some, even if we are applying at a 15-inch distance from the row, we can have some ammonia losses as we are applying that anhydrous ammonia, and that can cause some tissue injury.
Despite this tissue injury risk, there are some very good reasons to side dress nitrogen rather than applying it in the fall or early spring.
Every time you apply nitrogen long before the plant is going to use it, you increase the window of opportunity for that nitrogen to be lost or for something to happen to that nitrogen that won't be available to the plant the next year. So the closer, the opposite is true. If the closer you are to the time that the plant will need that nitrogen, the better chance you have for that nitrogen to be actually used up by the plant and not by other microorganisms or being lost somewhere.
One other note here on conservation. Applying nitrogen, of course, closer to the time that the plant needs it, makes it more efficient. It's also possible to use less power to apply that nitrogen in the fall or the spring, because between-row applications can be done with half as many knives, or one every other row. That takes less power and less fuel to get across the field. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Greg Johnson, to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I called you Friday afternoon and said, is anybody selling? You said no. So the same question, is anybody selling today?
No. I think we've started our pre-holiday doldrums already, and unless the markets really pick up, I think farmers have higher prices in mind, and they're willing to wait another month or two before they lower those sights very much.
You think they're right?
I think they're right. I think the dollar is one thing that has probably, you know, really, if you look at how strong the dollar has been the last month or so, in the past, commodities have suffered as a result of that. Corn and beans have held in there very well. In fact, last 10 days, corn market and bean market has been higher even with the stronger dollar. So if the dollar would happen to weaken some more, that would just mean more strength for the commodities. And, you know, the bottom line is China is still lurking out there trying to talk prices down. They're trying to do everything they can. And, you know, If you believe they're going to come in and buy corn from either the U.S. or Argentina, that somewhere down the road, that's got to be a little friendly to the price.
Basis for corn stronger or weak today?
Stronger. Just looking 1 month ago, basis was 16 cents lower on corn than where it is today. So basis has improved 16 cents in corn, 20 cents in beans, and 19 cents in wheat all in 1 month.
And you're, what, 8 under? Is that right?
8 under the March, yeah, which is over the December futures. But, of course, no one's bidding off of December now. But, but yeah, that just kind of gives you an indication that corn's hard to come by when you're paying more than what the nearby option is.
Yeah, and are you unusual in the area?
No, I think everybody's getting stronger. Processors, exporters, ethanol plants, commercial grain elevators, everybody, you know, is going to be improving basis. They have already, and they probably continue to get even stronger yet.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is $5.60 for Dece or Jan. Next fall, $4.94. Cash beans are $12.78 for December or January. Next fall, $11.54. And wheat next July, $7.18.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. Back in just 2 minutes when we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's Feast of Nicholas Day, patron of bakers, barrel makers, brewers, and coopers. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Columbus sighted the island now known as Haiti and the Dominican Republic. In 1766, Johann Bodmer was born, a Swiss mechanic. He was a prolific inventor of textile-making machinery, including machines that made the process from carding to spinning wool continuous. In 1863, Charles Hull was born, a U.S. chemist. He invented an inexpensive process for extracting aluminum from its ore using carbon electrodes with homemade batteries and sodium aluminum fluoride. Before that discovery, aluminum was considered a precious metal like gold or silver. Afterwards, it went for 18 cents a pound. In 1945, the microwave oven was patented. And in 2006, an outbreak of illness from the dangerous E. coli 0157H7 was reported, with green onions as the suspected cause. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon, Josh Dar of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us from his office on the 23rd of the Boeing building there to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you doing?
Well, I came across campus and it was cold. I see that it appears that, well, temperatures are, what, about 18 degrees, but it feels like one or something like that out there. It's really not nice.
We've gotten thrown right into the middle of winter here. Yeah, Bloomington, Illinois, here on the hour, the wind chill is zero, 16 degrees, but the wind's out of the northwest at 17 miles an hour, so it certainly feels very cold, and this is a pattern that's going to be with us here for the next couple weeks. So we have kind of the Arctic Freeway is open from Canada, and we have this is the first of several air masses that will be flowing into the Great Lakes and then over to the East Coast with time. That will bring several pretty hardy periods of cold weather across, particularly the central and eastern portions of the Midwest, now through the middle portion of December. And the coldest period maybe of all looks to be late this week and early next week, behind on the heels of what could be a pretty significant storm system that develops in the plains on Saturday and then intensifies Saturday afternoon and evening into Sunday across the Great Lakes. A little too early to discuss specifics on the rain-snow line, how much snow may fall, but it looks like someone in the Midwest, probably bias a little more north and west and south and east, could get a rather significant snowstorm here this weekend with that storm. Then cold air comes in right behind it. So we're locked in this pattern.
Colder than, I guess, the negative numbers we'll see for wind chills tonight. I know we're not going to get quite that cold, but single digits, I think, tonight and tomorrow night for our temperatures. So next week going to be colder than that?
Yeah, it looks like the lows next week could get down to the low single digits behind that storm system. And then, yeah, windy with that as well. So wind chills certainly below zero look to be a likelihood as we get into, as we're talking to this time next week, that next significant cold air mass will be moving across the Midwest here. So, yeah, we think a week from now would likely be, yeah, even a touch colder, which so this is just preparing us for more of the Arctic blast to come.
Yeah, when you open up the old Arctic Freeway from Canada, that's a nice term. I like that, by the way. What else happens around the country, for instance, out west and then into the hard red winter wheat growing belt just below that?
Rather quiet, to be honest, in the plains hard red belt. It really the precip story is more here in the soft red belt of the Midwest. The plains do not look to see any of these major storm systems. They tend to develop along the Mississippi River and then develop even further as they go towards the East Coast. So certainly a variable pattern, some cold fronts moving through the plains, and you warm up a little bit, the warm air fails to get east of the Mississippi, and then you bring another cold air mass in. So at variable temperatures, but rather dry pattern, so no significant change in the plains, the hard red wheat moisture situation.
Let's stay with wheat. Talk about both Argentina and Australia quickly for me.
Sure. With Australia, it looks like New South Wales and Queensland stay in this rainier pattern that they've been in all spring for the next 7 days, catch a little break by the middle of next week, whereas further south, South Australia, Victoria, look to catch a week plus of harvest activity here late this week through next week, so improvement there. Argentina, things continue to be rather dicey with a below-normal precip, while in southern Brazil, above normal precip is potentially causing some flooding issues in far southern Brazil.
Josh, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Check the livestock and the animals. Make sure they're safe, and you be safe, too. I'm Todd Gleason.